Dan, we know you'll get stuck on us. Let's go. And welcome, Honey Pots, to Quarantine. Today, we are talking about Hogwands. And I have worked at Hogwands, and that's why I am doing this. I want you guys to know what is up with teaching at Hogwands. I want you guys to be ready to set and know what to expect. So let's get into it. So firstly, what is a Hogwand? A Hogwand is a private school here in Korea. They usually have, this is what the children usually go to after their school. So these are the ones that go, they can go as late as 10 p.m. I've seen, I think maybe 9:30 is the latest. So most children don't get home till 10, 11. I'm not a fan of Hogwands, but I have worked at one. Thankfully, I didn't work that late, but I did have to work until 7:30 twice a week. So that was not ideal. So what are the qualifications to work at one? Well, they're the same as the EPIC program, same as, you know, teaching just normally. So you have to have a bachelor's degree, at least a bachelor's degree in any subject. You should have a TESOL, TEFL, or CELTA or DELTA certification. Now, if you are a certified teacher, I do not recommend even going the Hogwand route. You should probably go and try an international school or a university because, you know, those are going to be better for your qualifications. People always recommend me to go to international school because I'm a master's degree, but that's not the schedule that I'm looking for. So there are reasons, you know, why people choose Hogwands, location or housing allowance or just overall pay, all those things. So, you know, let's jump into what are the hours like. So the hours for Hogwands, they can go anywhere. They can be not so much anymore. They used to be all pretty much 9 to 5. So there was the 9 to 5 group, and then there was the 10 to 7 and 10 to 7:30. So they would have two different schedules throughout their week. And then of course there's the later evening ones, which is like 2 to 10. So it's really just depends on what you want. Of course, there's some that are longer days, like poly Hogwands. And poly Hogwands is a ton more work, but they also do give you higher pay. So I had a friend who worked at poly for 2 years to save up money. So it really just depends on what you're looking for. They have jobs for all kinds of people. If you're a split shift type of person, they have Hogwands for split shift. They also have adult Hogwands, which could be earlier in the morning and later. So those are like the business ones. There's business Hogwands too. So they're for adults who are studying like business English. So I've seen those where they work like 6 a.m., 7 a.m. and, to whatever. And I've seen split shift business Hogwands as well. So there's a lot of variety. There's also, you know, different age groups. So you can be, you know, kindy in the morning, and then in the afternoon is elementary aged kids. So that's usually what most of them are. The first part of the morning is kindy kids because they're not in school. And then there's afternoon kids who come from elementary school and then come to their Hogwand to study. And there's not just English Hogwand, right? There's math, there's science, there's social studies, there's Korean history. There's all these types of Hogwands. Of course, there's even ones for creative things like coding and science and technology and art and piano. So there's different types of Hogwands, but usually those foreign teachers are not teaching. I have seen music Hogwands that look for foreign teachers to teach like a musical theater class. I've seen some for art. So they do exist for those things, but I haven't seen any for tech or coding for English speakers. So what are the included benefits? Well, your benefits are the same as public school teachers, or they should be, because you should have, the company should be paying half of your national health insurance. So they pay 50, you pay 50. You should be getting paid into the pension, and you should be getting, what is the other thing? You should be getting housing. So that is a big thing. So you should be getting housing for that. And let me double check. I do have like a post here that I'm looking at. So I make sure that I do tell you, you know, the benefits, because I don't remember them well myself. And I am not, I have not been teaching at a Hagwon since 2016. So yes. Yeah, medical insurance and then severance pay. So they should be giving you housing, medical insurance, paying half the medical insurance, paying into your pension, and severance pay. So yes, there's that. Oh, goodness. I see one that says 3 to 10. 3 to 10 time, and one that says 1 to 9. Oh, my goodness. Here's one. Their hours are 9, 10 to 6 and 9, 10 to 5, 10. So, yes. Oh, this is actually. And they switch Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Tuesday, Thursday. But, yes, you should have what I said, housing or housing allowance. And this is where I think things can get a little, you know, interesting, because with housing or housing allowance, yeah, you just have to know what they're going to give you. So that's something I'll talk about a little bit more in a bit. Vacation time. Usually you only have 11 vacation days. I think it's very strange that they say 11 because, yeah, because if you say 11 vacation days, you know, that's not a lot of time for you to go home. So a lot of Hagwons, you know, you don't really go home. So a lot of people, when they come, they may teach 1 year, stay at a Hagwon 1 year, and then they leave to go home, get their pension. And then, well, if you're from the U.S., because you can claim your pension. So leave, go home, get your pension. And then they reapply and come back to work at a different school because they had finished their contract. So now they have a whole year on their thing. They can take a longer vacation at the end of their contract and go home for like a month, because Hagwons actually, they hire like year round because there's always a school that needs someone. Of course, the main intake is still at the beginning of the year and in August. I mean, not August because they start in August, but you know, it's still the induction ceremony. I mean, induction period's just like with Epic. So those are the big hiring times. And like myself, I just had a bunch of interviews to start in March as well. But not as with the Hagwon, as I said. I'll talk about what I'm doing. Maybe in the next episode, I'll talk about it. Yeah, I think that'll be interesting. But with the 11 vacation days, it's very hard to go home. A lot of my friends just, they traveled around Asia. I'm hoping to do that this year as well. So I may take my vacation and my daughter and I probably will go to Japan. I really want to go to Japan. I want to do Japan and Jeju Island this year. No, I don't want to. I am going to do Japan and Jeju Island this year because my vacation time is the same as yours. But actually, I get a longer one in winter, like a month off. But in the summer, I get a week off. So the same as Hagwon system. But I can get longer. I just have to get a sub or pay. And some Hagwons do allow that. So, you know, you just have to talk to your Hagwon, but you'd have to pay for your own sub. A lot of Hagwons do not like subbing out. A lot of schools don't like subbing out because they want, you know, because parents don't like when the teacher leaves and someone new comes in, so because the students are used to it, you know, and they don't want them to be, I guess, to, you know, they don't want the children to, because the children get so attached to the teacher, and they also worry, like, is the teacher really coming back? So there's that. But yeah. Anyways, next, questions you should ask before signing. This very important section, So first you need to know how many teachers or staff work there. Why do you need to know this? Because there has to be at least 5 staff who work there for them to follow certain laws. So it's very important that you find out. And I mean, don't even think about, I don't remember if bus drivers count. But I would say if they say, oh, it's just you and a Korean teacher and the managers, I wouldn't work there. I wouldn't work there because that means that they don't have to pay certain things. And, you know, if something happens, like, just don't do it. Just don't do it. So always ask how many are on staff at their academy. And academy and a Hagwon are similar. So if they say, oh, we're an academy, you know, blah, 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 academy, it's the same as a Hagwon. Don't let that fool you. As for the contacts of, oh, oh, Ask for the contacts of one of them. So if they already have an English-speaking staff, ask for their contact. Say, oh, yeah, I would love to talk with someone that I'll be working for so I can, you know, maybe see how they teach or, you know, the curriculum and what they like about it so I can get ideas, you know, about the classrooms and the class sizes. And, you know, you don't want to say, oh, I want to talk to them to see how this, you know, if they like the school. No, of course, they're not going to give it to you. And sometimes they will bring on an English teacher who is like the sucker upper, or they're the person leaving and just want someone to be hired so they can go, because there are teachers who they say you have to find a replacement before we'll let you go, which is illegal, by the way. So don't fall into that trap. So you are legally allowed to leave your job at any time. The issue is that legally, you cannot get another job on an E2 visa unless your first school agrees to release you or you're at the end of your contract. So you would have to wait. If you're like, my school's horrible, they're not paying me on time, you know, they're threatening me or they're treating me badly, you would have to leave, or, you know, you would have to leave the country and then come back after your visa is over with, that time for you to be at the school. There's a lot of stuff that does happen within the Hagwon system. And I really wish the government would regulate it more and be more on the managers and people who run these Hagwons, because I dealt with a lot. And, you know, thank the Lord, because I was able to fight back and get what was owed to me. I had to suffer for a couple months, but, you know, I was able to come out on top, and I will definitely give you guys that story time soon. So anyways, yeah, just so you know. And then, do they provide housing or deposit and allowance or just housing? Okay, wait. Do they provide housing or deposit in housing or just the housing allowance or just the deposit? So these are several different things that can happen. So if they provide housing, that means they pay for your house. It should already be set up. I would ask for a picture of that apartment, because you want to see images. You want to make sure there's no mold, because we've had mold and I had to tell them, you have to move me ASAP. And, that goes into my Hagwon horror story, because there's a lot that went there. And then deposit in housing. So if they give you a deposit and a housing, that means they're paying for your apartment, but you would have to find it. So they give you the deposit, maybe 5 million, maybe 10 million won. And yes, deposits are that much. If you didn't know, they're that much. 5 million is $5,000, 10 million, $10,000. So they will give you the deposit. They may help you try to find a house in their area or further out. And they will give you housing allowance. So it's a deposit for the housing, and they'll give you housing allowance. So you get to find your own house that you'll like, so you have no complaining. And if they do that, you really, really, really need to make sure you like that school, because they're going to be on you at the end of that 1 year contract and saying, you can't leave. You've been, you know, we have a lease with this apartment. You're the one who picked it. So you don't even want to have that additional stress on you if something does go down. So just make sure that you feel 100% comfortable with that choice, because, I mean, they can't stop you from leaving, but, you know, the guilt tripping and the threats that can come, like, just make sure you're good. And then if they give you just a housing allowance, so that means you have to put up deposit. They want you to pretty much already be set in a house, and they just want to give you the housing allowance. So that would be good for me, because I'm already in my apartment. Y'all can't see it, but I'm already in my apartment, and, yeah. And so I would just need housing allowance. So the company I'm about to sign with, as I said, it's not a Hagwon, but it's a different type of program. They are giving me a large housing allowance, because I don't need, well, it's not really a housing allowance. They just call it a bonus, because it's really kind of like on top of my pay. I just say housing allowance because it's easier for my brain to get it. and it's not a bonus. It's my pay. So it's weird. But yeah, anyway, so they could do that excuse me, or they can just give you a deposit and then everything else is on you. So some companies that pay high, they may do this. They may just be like, we'll give you 10 million deposit or $10,000 deposit for you to go find a house. So a lot of, not a lot, but I have seen some companies that do that. So they will say like housing or housing deposit of up to 10 million or up to 5 million. So if you want to find your own house, then they will allow you to do that and they'll put that deposit down for you. Now, I would say I wouldn't want them to do that because if you end up leaving that school, they're going to be like, you need to pay us the deposit back for your housing. So if you leave the school, like let's say you finish out your contract, but they pay the deposit, you need to pay the deposit back because they have to get the money back. If you really like the apartment, then what's going to happen? Obviously, they're going to say, oh, you're still, you want to stay in the apartment. Okay, well, we need it for our next teacher. You're going to be like, no, I'm going to a different school now. So they're going to ask, of course, for their money back because they put it down for your house, but you're not going to be working for their school anymore. So you would have to pay that back. All right. Sick days. You need to ask them, how many sick days do you get? So usually I would say Hog Ones, at least the Hog One I worked at, even though it was not the greatest story, they at least had two sick days in there, which we didn't really get, but we had a hospital downstairs. So if we were sick, they'd be like, go downstairs. So at least they let us go to the doctor, get meds, and we would just be working at work. You know, sometimes they'd be like, put a mask on if you're coughing. You know, it's kind of ridiculous. I think for the safety of children, they should have not done that, right? So do you have to eat with students? This is a question you should ask because for your lunch break, you are supposed to be free to do what you want. You should not have to supervise children. You should not be under the supervision of your employer. So that means that you should not have to eat with children. And I have subbed at other schools who have you eat with the children. Some schools that had me actually like serve the food to the kids, but not eat with them. So I don't mind serving the food to the kids and rolling out. That was dope. That's what I did. But if it's my lunch break, I shouldn't have to serve the kids either. They should be having a cafeteria. But what they would do was they had a cafeteria. They loaded it on the trays and then we passed out the trays to the kids and then we can leave. So that was it. So that's the other part. Are you free to leave during lunch? Because you should not have to be under the supervision of the employer during your lunch break. So you need to ask, am I free to leave during my lunch break? Am I allowed to go out? Like if I want to go grab a coffee or go to the convenience store to get me food or, you know, something else. Because, I mean, and also you can be vegan or, you know, a vegetarian or, you know, maybe you just don't eat lunch. You want just protein shake or to go out and breathe fresh air. So, or take a walk. Cause during my lunch breaks at my elementary school, we couldn't really go anywhere because there wasn't really anywhere to go, but we were allowed to go off campus to go to the Pony Jump or the convenience store at the front of the school. So that was technically off campus and we could come back. So yeah, they let us do that. I mean, I couldn't like, they didn't want me to get in my car and go because that could, like if an accident happened in the car. So they didn't want us to go far, but I did get to leave sometimes. Like if I needed to go home, like run home to grab something I forgot, they have let me do that. So yeah. The other question, how long are breaks between classes? breaks should be at least 10 minutes. I know a lot of schools do 5 minutes. 5 minutes is not enough. Think about all the things you need to do. You need to put away the books. You need to make sure the kids get out of the classroom. Also, and then new kids are coming in the classroom. So you may need to go to the bathroom. You may just want a breather. You may want water to fill your water bottle. And so 5 minutes is not enough to do that. Put away books, set up the next class, go to the bathroom, get water. It's not enough time. 10 minutes is enough time. So if you have 10 minutes before each class, that is perfect. If it's more, that's even better. I don't know if there's anyone with more, but that would be any better. Oh, I forgot to add something. Let me add it right now. And that is prep time. So is there prep time? Do you have scheduled prep time? So that is very important because you need to know if they have prep time that is included in your schedule. You don't want them to say, oh no, you're going to prep at home, or oh no, you're going to do prep before the school day actually starts. That would be really messed up and that is not appropriate. So you need to make sure that you're getting paid for all the hours that you're working and extra. So you want to make sure that happens. So what you should check the contract for. So when you're checking your contract, because after you talk to the school, you say, okay, I like the sound of it. I would like to see the contract. So you want to check your contract, make sure the pay is correct. That is the first thing. Make sure the agreed amount that you agreed on is there. I would say that for a hog one, you should not be getting less than 2.4, even if you're starting 2.4. Why? Because inflation is real and it's the real deal, Holyfield. So you want to make sure that you are getting paid enough to survive. Oh, you got to be joking me. Oh, you got to be joking me. I just saw my charger's broken, my brand new charger, guys. Oh my goodness. So also, when will you be paid? So what is the scheduled pay date? Is it the 15th? Is it the 25th? You should know when you're going to be paid so you don't have to guess your first time. So make sure you make notes of these things too. And also you should get a copy of your contract after you sign as well. After they sign and you sign, they should send you a contract. The number of days in your contract. So you want to make sure that it equals a year, because if it's less than a year, you don't get your severance pay. So this is actually a trick some hogwans do try to do, and they will try to have you leave before your year is up. Don't fall for it. If they ask you, oh, would you like to take extra vacation days at the end of your contract? You can just go home early. No, say no. Say, oh no, I'm okay. I'll work to the last day. Now, if they say they don't have classes or the school is going to be closed, that's different. I would say get that in writing, and you want to make sure that you're still going to get your severance pay. So you need to make sure that you're still scheduled. They don't have you sign anything. Do not sign anything you are not sure of. Because I've heard a lot of people accidentally signing themselves out of their severance pay, and they would get a paper in Korean. They don't know what it says. And it turns out it says they are quitting their job and will not get their severance pay when they were told this is so that they can go on vacation early, or this is an agreement so they leave early and they'll still get their severance. So yeah, make sure your bonuses are included. Make sure the pension and all the pension, severance, national health insurance, and housing is all written there, or housing allowance or deposit or whatever you're getting. Make sure it's all included. If you're getting a house, check to see if they provide the basic items. So they should give you a bed, a TV, and a table. So that's usually it. Some schools don't give you a TV, but they should, and a wardrobe. Some do not do that. Some hogwans do not do that. They will give you a bed, and they might give you a TV, or they will give you a bed, and they might give you a wardrobe and a table. So if you get all of them with a hog one, yeah, you're very lucky. That means the school is probably a good school. So make sure the name of the school you interview with is correct on your document. So there are schools who change their names 50 billion times. There are schools whose names are not really their school because they've already had issues. So they will say their name is something else, but on that paper, their name is something else. So you want to double check before you sign. Say, oh, I need a day or two. Thank you for sending me my contract. I would like a day to review it, and then I will get back to you. You don't have to say, I will sign and get back to you. Just say, I will get back to you. Because you don't want to say you agreed to anything, no verbal agreements, nothing. And you can record your conversation with them if you need to, just so that if something does pop off, you can just play it back. But legally, they can't do anything to you. Even if you sign the contract, decide you don't want to come to Korea anymore, they can't do anything. And if you go through a recruiter to find a job and they threaten you, just block that recruiter, because that's not a good person. So don't fall for their tricks. Some will threaten you and say, you know, oh, you have to come, you already agreed. No, that's not true. So don't fall for those tricks. Double check you're only at one school. So make sure they're not having you go to two different schools. You're only legally allowed to go to one school unless both are on your visa. So if you go to the office and you register both of them at immigration, then you're allowed to. But other than that, no. Make sure your vacation days are listed correctly. So if they told you 11 days, make sure 11 days there. Make sure also to check if you get all red days off. So red days are public holidays, government public holidays. So make sure you get all of those red days off as well. You do not want to mess that up. So a lot of people every year they ask, oh, do all Hagwons get Children's Day off, or are all Hagwons supposed to be off this day? It's Buddha's birthday. You know, it's a red day, but our school said we're working, but I thought we're supposed to have it off. You got to check your contract. So did you sign with a school that said we most red days? No. So you want to check to see if you get all red days off. And a lot of Hagwons don't give you all red days. They're all about that money. Double check any deductions. So if they say, you know, oh, we're going to deduct $400,000 from your first paycheck for, you know, bills, or just in case at the end of your, we'll give it back to you after 6 months. You know, you just say, I'm sorry, I don't agree with these deductions. I would like you to change this in the contract. Please don't deduct anything from my first paycheck. I'm going to be really needing that money. As it is my first paycheck, I'm coming to a new country. You know, just get them to change it if you're okay with the school. That's actually illegal. They're not legally allowed to do that. So if they do that and you did not agree with that and it wasn't your contract, you can also take them to, you can file against them with the Department of Labor. And yeah, you can start a case with them. Don't be afraid to fight your schools, guys. Don't be afraid to fight those battles. That's why they have the agencies here. And I went through it. I fought it. So don't be afraid to fight those battles. And last but not least, what are the pros and cons to working at a Hagwon? So the pros are, you know, time schedule. So really, it's what you want to work. So if you want to work morning, if you want to work evening, if you want to work midday, split shift, there's a lot of options for you. There's always jobs open for Hagwons. You can choose your age groups because there's kindies as well that are not Hagwons. But yeah, you can choose that as well. I will say also double check what you're teaching because, you know, you're not. Big thing. There's Hagwons that say they're international schools, but they are not true international schools, like with licensed teachers. There are some who also started saying they only want licensed teachers, but they are not legit international schools. So you need to really check and go to the different groups on Facebook, ask them, you know, is this a legit school? You can Google the school. You can go to the Tokyo Hagwon blacklist, check to see if that school is named there. There's a lot of things. But as I said, these schools change their names to try to stay on top of things. But, you know, what happens in the dark comes out in the light, guys. So they don't get away with it all the time. So people are really starting to catch on. And I'm really hoping that these Gojem podcasts are going to help you. They will help you to avoid having any type of difficult situation. And that is really my main goal for this podcast. Yeah. So those are the pros. And the cons are, you know, there are a lot of times where there's been a lot of issues with Hagwons. Like, people do get scammed, but there are a lot of great Hagwons. There are a lot of great Hagwons too. So you just have to be really careful with Hagwons. I think that is the biggest con, is that you have to do probably more work than you would looking for a Hagwon, making it sure it's a good school, than you would with going with a public school. Now, there are public schools you can find on your own. You can also go to the MOE's website or the POE's website and apply directly to them. Sometimes they will list schools that are needing English teachers. So if you need help with that, you know, you can ask in the different groups as well, Korea groups, see if anybody knows. There's also a way you can check how much money the school makes from each student. But anyways, guys, I think this week, okay, this thing, you've been talking too long. Hey, honeypots, you know, I'm so glad you're here listening with us at Guru Jam. Lily is taking a little break from Guru Jam. She's burning herself out with her project that she's doing on YouTube. So she has her own personal channel. So she will be back soon enough. Hopefully with one of our lessons coming. And we hope that you guys are enjoying our Gurdjieff cast. And as always, we'll see you on the next one. Gurdjieff out.
Hey there, honeypots. Be sure to check us out on YouTube. And you can always check us out on all the podcast sites. So if something else might be better for you, check it out over there.